Did you hear Jordan Bernfield get in a subtle yet effective Game of Thrones reference during the news right there?
I did not.
Just the way he said winter is coming, which is a Game of Thrones reference that is lost on me because I never saw Game of Thrones, but I know that's a key phrase. But he just slips them in. I think he does it every newscast, gets in one or two Game of Thrones references.
I never watched the show, so I don't know if that's a joke or if they really say it.
No, it's legit. He was it last week? Instead of Lauren Lapka doing traffic, he had Peter Dinklage do the traffic, which was weird. I didn't see that one coming.
I love Dinklage.
So he always, everyone does. He just throws these in haphazardly, but very effectively.
I didn't know he was a GOT fan.
Oh, the biggest.
Got fan?
He's wearing a codpiece. I'm assuming because of Game of Thrones.
No, he wore that before the show even came on.
Oh, I didn't know that about him. That's great. Hi, everybody. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy, and this is the bonus hour. It's 60 minutes or less of just frivolity and fun. You can join in if you want. You can call us, 312-235-2525. Well, text us or call us. It's up to you. Don't do both.
No.
Dangerous. You are scanning the text line, and earlier in the show you revealed that you have a mannequin, and that's cause for concern, but it turns out other people have posted videos of their mannequins online.
All right. First of all, I said we had a mannequin up in the basement, and someone is correcting me on that, and then they say, wow, so your Christmas decorations are down in your attic.
Oh.
When I meant up, I meant assembled. Like, she's not up.
You don't have to travel to get
no,
up
to
your basement.
No, you go down to go to the basement.
Right.
But she's up. She's...
Right.
Although I think she's down now because people have disassembled her, and I have to be honest with you, until today I kind of forgot we had her.
Yeah.
And I want to dress her up in, like, a witch's costume.
Yeah.
Or maybe I'll put her as Ozzy Osbourne on the front porch.
Oh, that'd be excellent.
No trick-or-treaters. I don't have to buy candy then.
It's going to save you money.
Yeah, there are, I guess, a bunch of prank videos.
Involving mannequins?
Yeah. Hi, Bill and Wendy. On YouTube, there are many mannequin prank videos. They're just coaxing me. They're trying to get me to do it.
You should do some. What would take place in a mannequin video?
I'm not
seeing...
Is it
something that...
we'd have to look it up. They're just saying... Bill, haven't you ever seen the movie Lars and the Real Girl?
I have. It's very entertaining. Very good movie.
Lars has a girlfriend that is a mannequin, and he pushes her around in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
You don't bring that up?
He's a guy who's kind of down on his luck when it comes to being in love.
Well, if he has a girlfriend that's a mannequin, I guess, yes, we can assume that.
I guess. I mean... People's reasons for having a mannequin girlfriend are varied. There's a thousand different reasons, but in this particular instance, he, Ryan Gosling, who you could see where he'd have a hard time having a relationship if you're Ryan Gosling. You don't really have the looks or the ability to communicate, so I get it. So he starts dating a mannequin, which everybody, those close to him and those kind of on the periphery at first don't accept, but as the movie goes on, they become more accepting of her, in quotation marks.
Do you know who he's married to?
Yes.
I just found this out over the weekend.
I can't think of her name.
Eva Mendes.
Yeah, Eva Mendes. Right.
How did that happen?
Why? They're both very attractive and good actors.
She is smoking and
She's
hot.
Very pretty. But you're surprised he'd get her?
Yeah.
Oh, Wendy, guys aspire to be him.
Why?
Because he's talented and good looking.
Well, he's talented. And
you don't think he's attractive, Ryan Gosling?
He's a good actor.
Oh.
He's not unattractive.
You would, in a parallel universe where you're not married and he's not married and he approaches you, really? Oh.
Now, if Eva Mendes approached me...
Then what would happen?
She just is really like a bombshell. That's all I have to say.
Yeah. Yep.
I was shocked to find out they were married because I fell for the clickbait about celebrity couples.
No, no, that's legit. They've been together for a while.
I looked it up now.
Yeah. Isn't she Will Ferrell's wife in the movie The Other Guys?
I didn't see that.
One of the, I'm almost positive it's Eva Mendes. He's got a very beautiful wife, Will Ferrell, despite the fact that he's very, very goofy. And that's like an ongoing joke is she's just crazy in love with him. and no one can believe, like, how, like what you just said with Ryan Gosling, how did you get her?
And I don't really mean it. He is really, I loved him in La La Land.
Oh, he was so great in La La Land.
And he's good looking. But yeah. I mean, it just, she is just, like, in my opinion, untouchable.
Well, yeah, because she's married to Ryan Gosling.
Well, I get that.
Don't be touching her. I'm going
to
make a diary and make sure that I keep track of this now. Hmm. But you seemed so shocked that she would stoop to that level.
No, and I didn't mean it to sound that way. But
he's an Academy Award nominee.
Yeah. And I'm not saying there's...
He's a former Mouseketeer. You don't think women take that into consideration when they're picking their guys?
Was he a Mouseketeer the same time Britney Spears was? Like that same reboot of that?
Yeah.
I'm Canadian now.
No, he was a Mouseketeer when Annette Funicello was a Mouseketeer.
A nut?
Ryan Gosling doesn't look it, but he's 73 years old. Dancing keeps him young, Wendy. That's people say it does. I think he's living proof of it.
I think there were a couple rebirths of Mouseketeers, weren't there?
Well, the original ones in the 50s. And then there was a... I guess so.
So
there's
not
three
within
versions.
That Funicello.
Right.
Mr. Snippy.
Right.
Mr. Snippy Pants.
I take my Mouseketeers very seriously. You have to.
Speaking of Halloween candy, which we were earlier, and Mouseketeers, can I talk about Three Mouseketeers? Because that's the worst candy bar ever. I think that should be on your list of what not to give away. It's fluffy and just nothing.
Really? You're not a fan of the Three Mouseketeers?
It's too light and fluffy.
But there are people who enjoy the light and the fluffy.
Do you remember Choco-Lite?
Yeah.
It was sectioned off.
With those mystery crispy pieces inside that no matter what you did to identify them, like you could keep a piece of chocolate in your mouth for a long time to melt it down so you could identify that little crispy piece, but it would vanish.
And it was, you know, it was so light and airy that you could actually see the air bubbles in it. Do you remember that?
You could make it hover if you wanted to. You could buy one.
Wasn't that light?
And put it up in front of your face and it would just hover there. You wouldn't even have to touch it. It's amazing. Chocolate technology of the 70s, Wendy. Never, ever beat it.
And did you know, again, I went to Five Below yesterday because I needed a phone cord.
Is this 2 days in a row that you've been to Five? No?
I just mentioned it twice.
Oh.
And I say that because there's just some crazy stuff in there.
What did you see?
Well, first of all, I want to tell you that it's called Five Below.
Because it's freezing in there.
No.
They need to fix that fast.
But I have a bone to pick with the Five Below people.
What is it?
My son Dylan needed a cord for his iPhone. It fell out of his backpack at school. So we needed like a quick fix. And some of these don't last very long. But for $5, you're like, until I get new one. No.
Everything's not under $5?
It was $5. And then Real Small said $75.
Oh, no.
And then $5.95.
No.
That is
unacceptable. At Five Below?
I know. Mm-mm. And Dylan pointed this out to me, and I said, well, it's still, got a five. But he's absolutely right.
Five Below means five and under.
Right.
Or just under five, not over five.
I can show you the receipt. I paid $5.75 for I know it's cheap.
No, you got a lawsuit coming.
But
I'm going to give you my lawyer, Rudolph Giuliani. I think he can help you.
I don't think he can, even with this, to be honest with you.
He can help you on this one. You want to go to a store called Over Five,
well,
if you're going to get stuff in that price bracket.
Listen, I understand that they'd have to change the name then, but they should have thought about that when they named it Five Below.
No one else was beefing about this?
No.
There should have been a line of people furious.
I swear to you, when Dylan pointed it out, again, they put a five like in a really big and bold, and then right next to it, it was very small that said 75 and $5.95.
Nuh-uh.
And Dylan says, look at this. And I said, what's wrong? And he goes, it's $5.75. And I said, yeah, but it starts with a five. He goes, that's not the name of the store.
Now, I've never been in there, so you're going to have to help me with this.
If you need a bouncing ball, they have a lot of those.
I do actually need a bouncing ball because Mitch Miller's coming over for Thanksgiving. We're doing a sing-along.
This is a bigger one.
Oh. All right. So if you were to take 20 random items from Five Below, how many of them would in fact be below $5 and how many would be above $5? Because if it's a ratio that's out of whack, then you got yourself a problem.
Well, I don't know because I've gone there. If you need like
an anniversary present.
No. God. If you need Bill's birthday present,
yeah,
Bill's Christmas
present.
That's
the present. Perfect place to go for me.
No, but seriously, like I have purchased, when you get a new cell phone, I don't usually buy a case at the phone place because it's like $39 or $49.
Right.
So I will sometimes go immediately to Five Below and get one, a temporary one, till I can look around and find one that I really like and order it.
Seems right.
So I've gone there for those things. If you need party favors, if you need a grass skirt, maybe you're having a Hawaiian party.
I'm not, but I do need a grass skirt.
But
it's my business.
All these years, everything has been Five Below. They have really good candy. They have that Pocky. Do you know what that is? They're little cookie sticks that you dip in a tub of chocolate. Oh. It's self-contained.
Yeah. That should be under $5.
Those are like a dollar. A lot of the candy bars.
Yeah.
Can I just say, Five Below is where I go if I'm doing a movie night because they have all the boxes of candies for a dollar. Yeah. That's what I get there.
Yeah.
But it didn't hit me until I started thinking about it. $5.75 is, it's not,
it doesn't work. It's false advertising. You can't call your place Five Below and then offer up goods that are over $5.
Yeah. See, it says the store of unlimited possibilities.
Like where, overcharging you.
Where tweens, teens, and beyond find the newest, coolest stuff priced $1 to $5. Here's where it happens.
What?
First of all, I love their... The store of unlimited possibilities where tweens, teens, and beyond find the newest, coolest stuff priced from $1 to $5, plus some extreme deals up to $10. That has never been like this.
No, that's false advertising.
I'm suing them.
You should definitely sue them, just out of the principle, but get a lot of money too. Sue them for Five Below million, just under $5 million, $4,999,999. See, I can stick to it, and that's not even in my name. You have to do something about this. This is the downfall of society.
Well, there's a deluxe metal bingo set for $5. See, that's a great idea.
It would be like, what if I went to Bed Bath & Beyond and they only had two of the three? What if they had no Beyond? If it was all just Bed & Bath and I'm like, I need some stuff for my Beyond. And they're like, oh, we don't sell that, sir. Oh, really? Do you know my friend Wendy Snyder who sued Five Below?
For Five Below a million?
For Five Below a million. Because I'm going to take you to court for that.
Oh, they have a deep tissue roller. I need that.
I might, too. I don't know what it is. But pick up a second one when you're there.
It's a foam roller if you ever have, like, a kink in, like...
Yeah.
I'm still having IT band issues.
Oh.
So I'm going to go to the IT department.
Yeah. See if they can help you.
And that's only $5. See, most of these things, but I have never...
Most of them, but the title would lead one to believe that everything in the store is under $5. Not most of the things. That's horrible.
Do you need loungewear, pajama pants?
Yes, I do.
That should be...
Satiny. Are they satiny?
No, they're flannel.
I'm out.
You're weird. Hugh Hefner?
I'm willing to pay up to $5, but not above for them.
All right, so
monogrammed or none?
No, they have junior sizes, cute and cozy holiday candy cane, $5 for pajama bottoms.
All right, that's legal.
Yeah, but
that's still fine.
They've
right
added the up to $10. It's mm-mm. 1 to 5 now,
no.
Up to 10. That has never been in their sign before. I want to get a class action suit.
Can we? Is the CEO's name listed on the website?
No,
Jasmine, get your dialing finger ready. Because we need to confront the CEO with this. Their stock is going to tumble.
I just really, it didn't hit me until I was thinking about getting my candy corn and peanuts at Five Below.
Sure.
Which was a great deal. But I didn't think of it, and it didn't bother me last night, but it's bothering
you
me
should
now.
It should bother you. This is the downfall of America. You call your store something, and then you're selling the exact opposite? Uh-uh.
Now, the dollar store, there is
stuff. You know how, Wendy, on my birthday, we go to TGI Thursdays every year? That's a tradition.
Oh, that does save you money, doesn't it?
It does. It's cheaper, but it's nowhere near. It's not the same experience you get at TGI Fridays.
All right,
just a knockoff.
I found your Christmas present.
For under $5?
It is $5.
All right.
Oh, it's out of stock. Damn it. It's a toilet hunting game. Play While You Sit. And on the cover, they have a guy sitting on a toilet with a looks like a dart gun, and then there's a bullseye that you put on the back of the door.
I, as a rule, don't like to have any weaponry on me in the bathroom. I just think it's better for everybody if I don't have anything like you, what you just described, while I'm in the bathroom.
They have a JoJo Siwa 6-inch action figure doll.
A who?
You know that JoJo girl?
No.
She
JoJo Siwa?
Yeah, explain JoJo to Bill. She was on the Cochran Show. She is a YouTube star, and
for what?
Jasmine, help.
What I have no idea who she is. I just know she's on the Cochran Show all the time.
Oh, she's on often?
Oh, no, I heard her once. Oh. She's on Nickelodeon or something, and she has a giant bow in her hair, and she...
And I can get her for $5?
She is an American dancer, singer, actress. No, it's a doll.
Oh, just a doll? All
and right. A YouTube personality. She's known for appearing for 2 seasons on Dance Moms, along with her mother, Jessa Lynn Siwa.
Oh.
And she has singles called Boomerang and Kid in a Candy Store. You would click with her.
Know. Yeah, maybe. This is the first time hearing of her. And she has her own action figure?
Yeah. The toilet hunting game, though, is pretty cool.
Mm,
I would get that for you.
That sounds too dangerous.
Frozen action figures.
From the movie Frozen? Yeah. The Disney film Frozen?
Yeah. Frozen 2.
Maybe. These are all at Five Below?
Yeah.
How did they... they don't just deal in closeouts. They have some original stuff, because Frozen 2 is not even out yet.
Disney Frozen 2 coloring paint set. Travel blanket.
That would come in handy. All right. It's you're getting warmer.
It's not Five Below anymore, and I have not seen the new logo except for today. It says cool stuff. $1 to $5
can
and
you
some
please
up to 10.
Find out who the CEO of Five Below is so we can confront him with this?
We're really gonna call him?
This is scandalous. You can't do that to people.
I know the dollar store has things that are more than a dollar.
Yeah.
And that's how they kinda get around it, don't they? Because it's like $4.
Yeah.
But it's still a dollar.
What if during the bonus hour you and I only did 48 minutes of material?
We're going to do that.
Oh. All right. Bad example. We'll take a break. Kim Gordon will be here. She's written a song. She will do that for you next. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. I know you're not feeling well, Kim. So if you have to go back to the newsroom.
Are you ready to get rid of me?
I don't want to get rid of you. I just know you're not feeling well.
You just don't want to get sick.
And we don't want to get sick.
No, I know.
You're okay?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good.
Do you want a Bromo Seltzer?
That would be good.
Okay.
Was that like Brioski?
Yeah.
I loved Brioski.
Was that like an Alka-Seltzer?
Yes. It's in the neighborhood.
Little crystals as opposed to a tablet.
Do you remember what they would call what the prefix was for Brioski? They wouldn't just call it Brioski. It had a little prefix that they'd throw on in all the commercials. Do you remember what it was?
No.
Pleasant tasting Brioski.
It was. Sometimes I would fake a stomach ache so my mom would give me some.
Okay. I used to like to drink Pepto-Bismol.
Did you?
Yeah.
That is so chalky.
It tastes good.
Minty.
Wintergreen Lifesavers. That's what it tastes
yeah,
like.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very pepperminty.
I love a good Wintergreen Lifesaver.
I was like that with Kaopectate. There was a time where I enjoyed the taste of Kaopectate.
Didn't you get all backed up?
No, I wouldn't drink enough of it. I would just do a shot glass of it, of Kaopectate. A K.O. shot, we would call them in the business, Wendy. Just a 2-ouncer. But yeah, like now, I would never. Why would you want to drink that?
Ooh,
but as a kid, I'm like, this, no,
you
this
is
awesome.
You know what else I used to like? Dimetap.
Dimetap. What did that taste like?
Oh, like grape.
Really?
It's for allergies.
Oh.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
And I took some Dimetap. Ooh.
They still make Brioski, and I have to tell you.
Is it pleasant tasting still?
I got to look.
Doesn't say?
I thought it was just an Italian thing because my grandma was Italian and had it.
Yeah.
It is.
But Brioski sounds more Russian than
no,
it does.
No, it is an Italian.
Is it?
No, the C. It is. An Italian company founded in 1907 as Achille Brioski NC and Company to produce and make commerce of chemicals, liquors, and similars.
Similars.
I don't know what that is.
Similar.
But I...
I've never heard of that.
It now says lemon-flavored effervescent. So
that
it doesn't,
sounds pretty good.
It's really good. I'm sorry. I'm going to go get some Brioski
tonight. Order one up. Let's have one.
Brioski Effervescent, the original lemon-flavored Italian effervescent.
It's like an.
Does it help open your sinuses?
No, it's a digestive aid, refreshing and thirst-quenching, with no artificial coloring, with a simple all-natural formula and pleasant taste.
Yeah, Brioski still sticking on that.
Helps minimize bloating and heaviness after meals. Made in Italy.
Oh.
What's in it? Sugar, baking soda, malic acid, glucose syrup, natural lemon flavor.
Boy, that's a lot of sugar in there.
And blue number two.
Yeah.
Does it turn blue?
It looks like...
Why would they put blue?
I don't know, because it doesn't get blue. It's just these white things that look like part of your intestines, like dried up.
Sold.
Do you remember? They're like little elongated crystals.
Right.
And you'd put them in a glass.
Right.
You'd pour water in, and I got to be honest with you, it was pretty cool seeing it start fizzing.
Fizzy up, yeah.
And then you'd stir it and drink it, and it just was. It was like really high powered squirt.
Oh, really?
So how does it differ then from Alka-Seltzer?
It's because
the flavor, or more than just the flavor.
Well, Alka-Seltzer were tablets, and it would take longer. I think this effervesces more.
Oh.
Does it?
I think so. Because
a lot of fizz to it.
Yeah, there were. Yeah. Didn't you take Brioski?
No, I just saw the commercials. I would just see the guy in the commercial, and the way they sold it as, have a Brioski, pleasant tasting Brioski. This guy with like a real gravelly voice, like, no, not if I'm going to end up sounding like you, I'm not going to take one of these. And the way he said pleasant tasting was like, it doesn't taste so good, but I'm going to say pleasant tasting so that you believe me. Oh, all right, then I'll have one.
It was really good.
And the original one that I mentioned was Bromo Seltzer. Is that kind of in the same family?
I think so.
It is, isn't it?
It's the non-Italian version of it.
Yeah, right.
And this
you guys aren't curing my cold, though. I don't have stomach issues.
No.
All right, so with a cold, my home remedy for that, I really do take Natron's Healthy Trinity. People say, oh, do you just say that? No, I take it every day, and I double up on it on times when someone in my family is sick because it's like I just want to take it. But if push comes to shove and I do get sick, I highly recommend the 4-hour Sudafed tablets. I know there's red dye in it. A lot of people don't like to take that, but the little red circular ones you can take every 4 to 6 hours. It's magical to me. And then if you have a headache or something, Advil or Tylenol or something.
Allergy, cold medicine makes me feel really funky a lot of
times. Does it? What does it do to you?
It gives me the jitters.
This will, because there's a stimulant in it.
Yeah, I have issues with that, and especially if I'm trying to work.
Try Pedialyte.
Pedialyte?
Yeah.
Try that. He's onto something,
it might be something there. Do they make Pedialyte for adults?
They do.
They do? Is it still called Pedialyte?
Yeah, it's Pedialyte.
Oh, I didn't know
adults.
They made that for adults. Wow.
But Pedialyte is for
binky?
When you're dehydrated.
Right.
Kim, get a binky and some Pedialyte and tell me if you're feeling better.
And then just give me a blanket and I'll curl up somewhere.
But they make Sudafed. Like the one I get has the pseudonephrine in it, and then I have to give them my driver's license to get it.
Right.
What do they do with your driver's license?
They scan it to make sure I'm not making meth.
Oh.
Because Sudafed, pseudonephrine, it's in there.
So they'll punch in your record. They'll use something on your driver's license to see if you bought a lot of it recently.
Yeah, they just scan it and you have to, sign something. But I prefer those red ones because then you can take it every 4 to 6 hours. However, we're a family of ADHD years, so we can take it and it kind of chills us instead of amps us up.
Kim, don't use it to make meth, okay? Promise me?
I promise.
All right,
I won't.
Thank you.
At least this time, anyway.
And conversely, Benadryl kind of amps me up.
Oh, see, now I'm the opposite.
Yeah,
if I take a Benadryl, good night.
Well,
it makes you tired fast.
Oh, exhausted.
Yeah.
This could be allergies, too, because mold is up. For years, every October, I would get sick, and it started the year I married Jim.
Oh.
So I thought maybe I was allergic to him.
Are you blaming him? You are, right?
This year and last year, I have not had allergies, knock on wood. We're almost through October.
Yeah.
This is the first time I've had a cold in years.
Isn't
it awful? Everybody
in
the newsroom is sick, so I feel like I've picked it up from them.
Yeah.
Do you wash your hands enough?
I do, and we wipe down the board all the time. We
wear rubber gloves
and everything in there. I really.
I saw him spraying down Steve Grzanich this morning.
He's one of the only ones who's not sick.
How is he managing that?
I don't know. I guess he touches it first in the morning, and it goes down from there.
Yes, that's true.
Looking at this control board, which everybody shares, there are so many greasy fingerprints.
I know,
I'm just grossed out. I should have never looked down.
Yeah,
I am going to start wearing rubber gloves.
Phyllis Diller.
And then I can make you a Subway sandwich.
Oh, that'll be delicious. Start tomorrow. I'm lucky because where I stand, it's just Dave Ennett, and Dave's extremely healthy all the time.
Carmen was there today.
Oh, right. He was.
You're doomed.
Yeah. I'm in trouble.
Uh-oh.
He's getting married in about a month.
Yeah.
Yeah. What if he got sick?
Oh, that's not good. That's not good. Wendy, something you said earlier reminded me of something. You were talking about how you used the term up in your basement, but you meant it something was set up in your basement.
Yes, yes, yes.
You weren't traveling upwards to get to your basement.
No, basement's downstairs.
Unless your house is in the upside down on Stranger Things. That's impossible. I have a relative who always got wrong, like if they were talking about a different state, like they'd say,
I do this too.
We were down in Wisconsin for a couple of days, or we drove up to Florida for spring break, you know, and I'd always say, you mean up to Wisconsin or down to Florida? And they'd go, what difference does it make? And I go, well, geographically, if you're looking at a map, and this person, my relative, didn't know that that's where it came from, had no idea that you wouldn't just arbitrarily pick a direction and say, down to Wisconsin or up to Florida, that it was based on the actual map. He's like, oh, I never put that together.
I didn't either when I was a little kid, and I kept getting corrected.
But you were a little kid.
Yes. And since I got corrected, mostly by my sister, who always corrected my English grammar and things like that.
Yeah.
And she'd be like, no, right, but Wisconsin is up.
Yeah.
So then I'd just say we'd be driving out to.
Safer.
Mm-hmm. Because then I didn't have to.
All-encompassing.
Generic term.
You're right. Yep. But Mike, I almost gave away who he was. This relative of mine, he said...
Maybe his name was.
For your system to work, like he was blaming it on me, but this is a system that's been in place forever. For your system to work, you have to know exactly where everything is located on a map. And I go, well, but you know Wisconsin, you know where it is.
I'm a little... I don't know some things. Like in the very... like
well, if
the
I was
left
saying,
of us.
Yeah. In the, you don't know what's there?
No, like no? I get confused. I know sort of heading to Florida.
Yeah.
I know, would that be east? Yes.
It would be southeast.
Southeast. Yeah. I know kind of that, but when you start going a little west and then northwest, I'm lost.
Yeah.
Well, I have to say moving here is really, I'm not the greatest with directions either.
Mm-hmm.
And so moving here has really helped me because I know everything east is the lake so that I can just kind of like put my compass in my mind.
Yeah, that's
right.
What I
which
do
way
too.
Is east
right.
And then figure it out
right.
From there.
Right.
I always did it and I, you know, we did the Pledge of Allegiance and a lot of kids when they're little would get their right and left hands mixed up. So I always had a ring on my right hand and then I
you
would,
were married at the age of six.
No, that would be the left hand.
Well,
see?
And you know that your left hand makes an L.
Yeah.
So that's how you know that's your left hand.
Yeah.
Oh. God, no one taught me that. I wish I went to school in Kentucky.
Yeah,
and if you had
go.
A shop class accident, your right hand makes the letter R. But it only works if you had a shop class accident. It's
but
not for everybody.
When I'm doing directions, I always the little mnemonic device I made was left and west was like eh, the S sound. Yeah. So I will face, I know the lake is east, so I will just kind of figure myself out and then I can do directions.
Yeah.
But left, west.
Both of my daughters, although I consider them to be smart people, have no concept of direction when it comes to east, west, north, and south.
Because like there's no reason they had to know it.
Well, but there
and
were
now
times...
now with GPS, you don't.
Yeah, you don't.
I guess you don't anymore. But it used to be like if they would call and they would need me to pick them up at a friend's house or something, and I didn't know exactly... And I'd go, is it east of Green Bay Road or is it west of Green Bay Road? I don't know. And
I know.
Well,
my,
it means is it
don't.
On that side or on that side?
That's
but
why
that baffled them every time.
But
how
that's
do you
like
know
a real
that?
Chicago thing, too.
That
because,
is.
Because growing up in Kentucky, we didn't say, like, is it east of this or west of this? You'd
no.
be just like, go left in two blocks.
Oh.
You know, like,
I guess.
The east-west thing is, the you know, people
yeah.
in Chicago are very into their compass.
Yes.
And,
yes.
you know, we would,
we have that.
In, growing up in Brookfield, we would just go, is it right or left of the Cock Robin? I
everything
mean, you'd get a
landmark.
No, but you'd get a landmark.
Right.
To this day, I still have to think. Jim was asking me a question, and he's like, is it south on LaGrange Road? And then I have to picture myself in Brookfield Zoo looking at the south gate, and I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it
yeah.
doesn't come naturally to
right.
me. I have to think
but
about it.
But I have
it.
To get, you know, give a shout out to the geography teachers of Chicago because obviously somebody drilled something into people's
right.
head correctly here
yes.
because people are really into
east, west, north, south
directions.
And how to get from
yes.
to.
I have another thing to say about city slickers because I've been a suburbanite my whole life.
Yes.
We grew up in Brookfield, in the Hollywood section of Brookfield, which is kind of like Riverside. There are a lot of islands and twisty things. So it was not just your east and west and north and south.
It wasn't
grid.
A traditional grid. Right.
Yeah. So yeah. We never really did that much.
Yeah.
I think if you're, and I think Judy Pilak was really good at this too, where you could say, you know, it's 400 north and she'd go, oh, that's Diversey. Or right. Right. I have no idea.
Yeah.
The other place where I can never figure it out too is when I'm in New York City. You know, they're like, well, it's at 54.
Fifth and third.
You know, what?
Right.
Just
right.
Tell me what's a land. Just tell me what's there.
But Kylie, one of my daughters who lives there now, said it took her 3 days. Like, she's better at it in New York for some weird reason because I don't spend that much time in New York and I get a little bit lost. And she goes, it's easy. And she uses those kind of grid markings. It's eighth and second. What does that mean to me? Right. Right.
But maybe she paid more attention because it wasn't so familiar
to
her.
I'm sure of it.
Had to learn it.
Yeah. When my dad gives directions, he only uses food. Like, he'll go, all right, so you know where Baskin Robbins is, right? Yeah, all right. Go 3 blocks past Baskin Robbins so you get to Brown's Chicken. Turn left at Dunkin' Donuts. It's always food related. It's never any other landmark other than restaurants or fast food restaurants in particular.
I like that kind of map.
I do too. That's my kind of map.
It's landmarks.
You gain weight listening to the direct. When my dad gives you directions, it's like, I got to sit down. I'm putting on weight just listening to these directions. This is too much. All right. Do we want to do this, Wendy? It's up to you.
Weren't you doing something on the 7:20 a.m. part of the show that we didn't finish, or did we finish everything? We were talking. Oh, you did finish about the candies.
What was it? Yeah, the 10 worst Halloween candies.
I thought there was one other thing we started and we ran out of time. Yeah, I know. That was a long time ago.
That was a long time. The regular show? I can't remember that far back. That was 40 minutes ago.
Yeah, I know.
There's no way I could remember all that. By the way, political for just a second. And I know people get very uncomfortable when you talk politics, but this needs to be said. Yesterday during the show, the president spoke and he was talking about this ISIS leader who is no longer with us. And I didn't see it because it was going on during the show, but Steve Bertrand told me about it. And then on the way home, I heard John Williams talking about it. And then I watched the clips on my own. So it's Donald Trump, and he's speaking in front of all these police chiefs, and he's talking about al-Baghdadi, the guy who had just died over the weekend. And he was getting huge laughs describing how dead he was, how dead this guy was.
I believe he said dead.
Deader
as a
than
doornail.
A doornail. And that got a huge laugh.
That's so not funny, guys.
I don't know how that gets laughs from what I consider to be a pretty esteemed group of people.
Do you think it's uncomfortable laughter?
Yes.
Like,
I do.
People don't know how to react, so they just laugh?
I do. I do believe that. Because there are people that support the president, and that's fine. It's a free country to do what you want. And I have found myself sometimes laughing at a moment of someone I like that I don't know how to react, so I just kind of, the noise that comes out is a laugh.
Yeah.
It's not funny, and, you know.
I know this was, don't get me wrong, this was a bad guy, and the world's probably much better off without him.
100% agree.
But it was just strange to see in that forum a guy who's the president of the United States addressing people who are, like I said, an esteemed group of guys and women, police chiefs, and them laughing at all these awkward moments about this guy's death. It just seemed very out of place.
And doesn't this get ISIS riled up?
Well, that's been the talk since then, is not just ISIS, but other groups like ISIS are like, oh yeah, now it's our turn, you know? And that's scary. I mean, it's just conjecture at this point. We don't know what's going to happen next, obviously. But and I can see this riling some
of
groups.
Course. And I listen, I live in America. I agree with America first. We have to take care of ourselves.
Yeah.
And he was a bad dude. But still, it's like, I just, like with the death penalty, who are we to take someone's life and certainly take someone's life and then goof around about it?
Yeah. This took place on Sunday. His death, and Dean Richards was on the air, and I was driving, and I had Dean on the radio, and Dean went out of his way to say, "It's hard." He had on Tom Mikaitis, who's a frequent guest on our show, and the news was very, very fresh. He did not steal Tom Mikaitis. Tom Mikaitis is an expert in the field of terrorism, so he's the go-to guy. So they were talking about his death, al-Baghdadi's death, And Dean went out of his way to say, it's hard to celebrate anybody's death, even when it's somebody so notorious and such a bad person. It's still your gut instinct is to not
cheer. Because it's death. It's
right. It's the finality.
Yeah.
Right. Right. And I know that, like, anytime any other enemy of the state has died, like Bin Laden,
yeah,
you're going,
Osama Bin Laden.
This is a guy who the world was not a better place because Bin Laden existed. But my first instinct isn't to jump up and down, you know, and cheer.
But there were people over in that area that were, because they were free of him.
Right. Right.
That almost makes sense to me. But
right.
We don't need to do that.
Right. Agreed. And it was just so awkward. Like I said, it was happening while we were on the air. I didn't get a chance to hear it or see it at the time. And then on the way home, John did a great job of talking about exactly that. Just he played the clips of Donald Trump's speech. And there's several times back to back to back where he's giving these details and the crowd is either laughing or applauding or both. And you just go, what purpose does that serve?
Right.
What are you getting out of laughing at this, the details of this guy's death?
And also, weren't three of his children with him, too?
I don't know the answer to that.
Well, definitely there were children. He allegedly detonated his suicide vest.
Yeah.
And I thought his three kids were with
there.
Him. So they perished as well. How is that? How do
right.
you?
Yeah. Yeah. I know. And look, I know that anytime we talk about politics, everybody gets very upset and everybody has their own opinion on it. But I don't know. Even if I was the most ardent of Trump supporters, that moment would have made me feel very uneasy
exactly.
to watch that, you know? And yeah, to your point, Wendy, there's no doubt about it. There's always an element of nervous laughter, but
Kim pointed that out, and it's really true.
If I was in that room, though, at that moment, I don't think even nervous laughter would occur to me.
But, you know, and let's just take Donald Trump out of the picture. If someone's doing, like emceeing something and it's a serious topic, but they say something goofy and like you can tell they're uncomfortable or they give a look to the audience, like, you know,
right.
I would laugh. I would give a pity laugh. That would get yeah. a laugh reaction out of me.
I've used this as an example in the past, but it's appropriate here. I've seen several movies over the last several years. Quentin Tarantino comes to mind because mm-hmm. I can tell you specifically when it happened in Quentin Tarantino movies, where there's violence on the screen that's over the top, and the reaction from the audience isn't the normal reaction of, oh, God, I'm watching somebody's head get bashed in. It's laughter, and in some cases, uproarious laughter. And I always wonder how that person could be wired to respond with that sort of behavior when you see something so grotesque and gruesome. And I know people always, they go, oh, it's Tarantino. He goes out of his way to be really big and gruesome and horrible. But in Django Unchained, there were some scenes with slavery where some things happen that are very graphic in the storyline of the slaves. And when I saw that movie in a theater, there was a guy a couple rows behind me who every time they showed that stuff was laughing like it was a sitcom. And I just kept looking at him like, how does this translate to you as funny?
You think our society is just becoming immune to this violence because we hear about it?
Not immune to it, but not processing it the way that you would think it should be processed.
Right.
In The Joker, when Joaquin Phoenix is laughing, and it's a crazy, eerie, quirky laugh.
Yeah.
There was a moment he laughed, and there were several audience members that laughed. Now,
yeah.
I was...
Like him or not like
no,
him?
No, like
just
they
laughed because it was funny.
They reacted yeah. to it in laughter, and I it happened. I turned around like, seriously? Because he was having some issues,
right.
you know? And it's
yeah.
like, I almost stood up and said, you really think that's funny? And then I'm like, mind your own business. Because sometimes you laugh at the wrong spot.
Yeah.
But it seems like a bunch of people were either laughing at the wrong spot or
yeah.
thought it was funny. During the raid, al-Baghdadi was chased down a dead-end tunnel. He set off his suicide vest, killing himself and three children with him.
Oh, wow.
So...
His own three children?
That I thought
That's
I heard that they were no. his children, but I don't know that to be true according to this story on CBSNews.com.
But would there ever be a time where someone was describing somebody's death, violent death? What you just read is nothing but violent, where your natural reaction would be to laugh at that? how is that amusing? But there was, it wasn't one, it wasn't like a straggler or two people laughing at it. It was a room full of people laughing at those. The line that stood out, Kim, was the one that we mentioned, deader than a doornail, get a huge laugh. And you're like, how is that funny? I know the guy was a bad guy.
In awe, or just like amazed that he would use that terminology.
Yeah.
And that's, I'm sorry, that's a funny saying from when we were kids.
But it was applied to an actual human.
I know
it wasn't
that.
It wasn't a cartoon. Right. It was real, you know?
I get that. I don't have an answer for it. I guess I'm trying to justify it because I don't understand it.
I've tried since yesterday to do exactly that, and it doesn't. And again, I know there's people out there that love the current president. I know there's people out there who can't stand the current president. Regardless of that, if somebody were to ever to tell you the details of somebody's death in the violent terms that this guy died, you could tell me that 1,000 days in a row, my reaction would not be to laugh at that in any of those 1,000 instances.
Most people's wouldn't.
Right.
But how weird is it that a room full of people all found it amusing at the same time?
Someone says you can't be sure how you'd react.
I can be. I know how I'd react. It would not be to laugh.
I would be shocked that some little, I don't know what to call it. It's not a nursery rhyme, but really little kids would be like, oh yeah, that bug is deader than a doorknob or whatever. I couldn't comprehend that was being used in that situation. So I can't tell you how I'd react either.
Right.
Like maybe I'd go, what?
Yeah.
Was it like one of those? Was it a ha ha ha? I know. I don't understand what's going on in this world. And I'm not blaming Donald Trump. I'm blaming everybody. Everybody's in control of their own reactions to things.
Yeah.
And it seems like people are not reacting properly anymore to anything.
Yeah. Right. Kim, thanks for hanging out.
Thank
Hope you're
you.
Feeling better.
Thank you.
Is that deader than a doornail or doorknob?
Doornail.
Is that what it was said yesterday?
Doornail.
Yeah.
What is the difference? I got to look
between a doorknob and a doornail?
See, I laughed, and it's not funny.
No.
But I want to know what it is.
No. All right. We'll come back with the answer to that and other riddles. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Good night, everyone.
Wendy, we're short on time. Tune in again tomorrow for another exciting adventure. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.
Serving the great Midwest from Chicago, this is WGN at AM 720 on your radio and on smart devices anywhere just by saying play WGN Radio on TuneIn.
WGN Chicago,
a Nexstar Media Group station.